Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard and I'm the head of marketing here at Sintons. I'm joined again today by my colleagues Tom Wills, who is the head of the Rural Agriculture and Estates team here at Sintons, and solicitor Sam Watts. Our podcast today, which will last approximately 10 to 15 minutes, is episode 7 in our Rural Roundup with Tom Wills podcast series. And today, Tom and Sam are going to cover public rights of way landowner options. So without any further ado, pass you straight over to Tom. Tom, good morning and over to you.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everybody. During our last podcast, we talked about the definitive map, what it meant and changes and how new rights would be recorded potentially on that map. Just by way of reflection, the definitive map is designed to be a conclusive record of all public rights of way in the UK. Obviously very important to landowners, important to our clients to know what rights of way potentially affect their properties. Also important to members of the public to know where they can roam, where they can't, what they're allowed to do. By way of recap as well, the first map was originally drawn up in 1952, but it's subject to a period of change at the moment, constantly changes. It's a beast that has to change because public rights of way do change over a period of time. But there is a concern, and has been a concern for a number of years, that rights that may have been lost and used historically, no longer used, could come back into use. Therefore, there's been a deadline set by the Countryside and Rights of Way Act in 2000, which essentially implemented a provisional cutoff date of the 1st of January 2026 for the recording of historic rights of way. Essentially, what this means for a lot of our clients is there's a flurry of activity commencing whereby a variety of parties, often spurred on by certain groups, are looking to register a number of lost or historic rights of way to prevent them from being lost. Now, as a side product of that, perhaps some people are chancing their arms slightly for additional rights or new rights or extending rights, or there is perhaps confusion as to what those rights at the time did mean. So parties will try and utilise and register for their own benefit. So if you are somebody who's received an application to have something against their land or is aware of it, sometimes you'll receive a notice. It's done obviously by a definitive map modification order. Then there's concern and you need to know what your options are. That's what this podcast is about. And so the first podcast that we did was a little bit about what the position is going to be, what's happening. This one is a little bit about what you can do to take steps to provide action and to try and remedy some of those steps. Some of it will be a patience. Some of it will require patience because we're dealing with local authorities and there's an awful lot of information to get through. And some of those applications, despite made, will not be produced or processed for some time. So you may not be able to respond immediately. But with the benefit of my colleague this morning, Sam Watts, who has done an awful lot of work into this, is proving to be a bit of an expert on public rights of way. And he's going to talk through some of the points about, we're going to do a little bit of a Q&A sessions, as I often do, tap into the knowledge of some of my colleagues to give everybody the benefit of that. We've got a very strong team here at Sinton, as everybody knows. So, okay, Sam, can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to cover this morning, and then we'll maybe go into a little bit more specifics?
Yeah, thank you very much, Tom. Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. As Tom's quite comprehensively covered there what we went through during our last podcast, in this podcast, we're going to look at more at the rights of landowners, what they can do to object to these kinds of applications to record public rights of way on the definitive map. We're going to look at a couple of things that landowners can do before an application's made to possibly provide them with some comfort if they're worried that a member of the public might be trying to record a right of way over the land. So we're just going to have a look at the different options available to landowners, really.
Thanks, Sam. So just kind of picking up on that, there'll be a lot of clients listening with open ears thinking, what can they do if they essentially hit with an order or a modification order in the specific sense that might be trying to record or register some form of public right of way over their land?
Thanks, Tom. I'm sure you can all imagine that it might be quite stressful, quite worrying if you're a landowner and you get hit with one of these orders and you're not expecting to be hit with one of these orders. First port of call, I would encourage you to get in touch with us or get in touch with a similar likewise professional to discuss your options and to properly go through the procedures that need to be adhered to. So the local authority will need some time to consider an applicant's application, and they do try to work to a 12-month timescale. As is always with local authorities, that sometimes does slip, which can, of course, create somewhat more confusion and uncertainty for a landowner. Of course, the amount of applications that local authorities will be receiving at the moment is likely to be higher than in the past because this cutoff date of 1st of Jan 2026 has been implemented. So, of course, you can imagine people who are trying to record the rights of way, the applications will increase because of that deadline. So, in short, a landowner can't formally object to an application to modify the definitive map until the local authority authorities advised whether or not that application is going to be successful. Of course, again, that can be somewhat unsettling for landowners, and it may feel as though you've got no choice but to sit and wait for an unwanted right of way to be recorded over your land. That is technically maybe the case, but practically, of course, you can start to speak to a lawyer about this. You can start to submit your evidence to the relevant local authority. The local authority will keep your evidence on the file. They may not consider it until they've considered the actual application, but it's always best to get your evidence in as early as possible and to consider what your objections will be. So therefore, it will be advisable to get your ducks in a row at an early stage and speak to us about putting together a proper and reasonable objection to the order in the event that it may be made. It would at least be worth speaking to somebody to make them aware that an order has been made, to kind of preempt that making of the order.
That's really sensible. I think there's a key message coming out there, which is preparation is key. You know, you get one of these, nobody, and I think this goes with any kind of legal notice you receive, any kind of order, anything that you're planning to do, try to plan in advance. You know, the last thing you want to be doing is have a deadline against your name, and then at the last minute be kind of running, scrambling, trying to get everything in. So preparation, make sure you put your evidence together. Bear in mind, it might take a bit of professional advice and assistance, not just from us, but from a team of professionals, perhaps, possibly land agents, if you've got one engaged, just to get some of that evidence to assist with it, with all of that, just to try and work out what the history's been, work out what you can use to actually try to put certain claims to bed. It may be that you partially agree with it, but you don't agree with all of what's been requested, and in which case need to challenge certain elements. So Sam, just on that, and I think a lot of our clients will be thinking that this is really, really useful information. If they want to actually make that objection, they get the step, they get the notices in, what does it look like, and what are the specific time parameters involved?
Well, different local authorities, Tom, will consider applications in different ways, of course. Unfortunately, they won't take into account the fact that you don't want the right of way over your land just because you don't want the right of way over your land, although it may seem very unfair. You will have to come up with some specific grounds, and some grounds that the local authorities will regard as grounds for objection. So, for example, they usually focus on what evidence that the rights legally existed historically, but they would disregard issues such as desirability, suitability, security, and safety. So landowners, unfortunately, you will need to rely on legal grounds to object to these kind of orders. And examples of those could be things such as historic verbal challenges to people using that route. So that, for example, could be yourself as a landowner telling people that they can't use that specific route over a period of time. If you can record dates and names of people that you've spoken to and told not to use that route, then that would be useful. Physical challenges to the rights of way being used. So, for example, a gate blocking off the right of way, if that's been there for a period of time, of course, again, dates, photographs will always be useful. Notices across the right of way, deterring people from using the right of way, or I'm calling it a right of way. It's not technically a right of way until it's been recorded on the definitive map. The proposed right of way, if there's notices either side of the pathway, for example, deterring people from using that route, that would be useful as an objection. If you have names of people that you've given express permission to use the right of way, that would kind of indicate that it's not a public right of way, it's a private right of way, and those specific people are allowed to use that, i.e. the public or not. Evidence that an old road or path is no longer in situ, and documentation supporting that the route is private. That list is non-exhaustive, but it was quite comprehensive. So it gives you an idea of the things that a local authority will consider, and there are quite a few different options that you can go down there to provide some evidence to show that the right of way is not public and is private or is not in place at all. You should be aware that the process is a public one, so any objections you do make will be in the public domain and will be accessible to the public. So that may be worth bearing in mind in terms of submitting your content. It won't be confidential. It will not be private. Tom, I know you mentioned timescales there. I think it would be good to give a bit of an indication on the timescales involved in these things. I would caveat that with something that we've both touched on earlier on, which is that the local authority are dealing with these applications and they're very busy bodies, especially when it comes to timescales and deadlines being implemented. So of course, these are guides of timescales, but I suppose they aren't definitive. So the local authority should contact you if their intention is to make an order. They will also place notices on the site of the right of way and in the local newspaper. From the date of the service of the notice, you'll have 42 days to make your objections. So you can understand why, as Tom aptly put it, preparation is key. You'll only have 48 days to submit your objections. So it's very useful to already have those prepared and to already have spoken to a professional about those. If you do object, your case will be sent to the Secretary of State, and that stage can take some time. An inspector will be appointed from the Planning Inspectorate, and then they'll deal with you directly until a formal decision is made. This process, as you can imagine, it can be quite tedious. If you fail and you don't get what you want, you will have right rights to appeal to the High Court within a further 42 days of your objection being denied.
Thanks, Sam. So no, that's really provided a lot of meat on the bones as to that process. Obviously, a lot of these applications that have gone in have not yet gone through, so there's not a lot of information to report back as to how those decisions have gone, et cetera, et cetera. There will be some evidence of historic ones and applications that have been made, but I think it's worth bearing that in mind. It's also worth bearing in mind that it's likely to be a more lengthier process than something that's going to happen quickly, and as a result of that, there's a little bit of work to be involved, there's a bit of patience required, like any of those things. But I think also there's some comfort to be taken in that there is a mechanism by which to object. There's also a lengthy decision process whereby evidence is considered, which I think is certainly important when we're talking about people's land and property and real assets that could be burdened by some of these things, in some cases surprisingly or without prior knowledge. So I think that's important. Just kind of conscious of that's what we can do if we get a modification order served against us. What can we do to I know most of our clients like to be on the ball, they like to be preemptive, they like to do things in advance. What can clients do if they're sitting listening thinking, God, I hope somebody doesn't try to make that application against my land? You know, I'm a bit concerned about something, or I've got a potential development site where I need to protect it. This could come up for development in 3 or 4 years. I don't want public right of way impeding on my existing use. What can our clients do?
Yeah, Tom, that's a brilliant point. I think, as we've both said during this podcast, preparation is key. And you may have thought it might be better to cover this point at the start of the podcast, looking at what landowners can do before they receive an order. But really, I think this is the takeaway point from this podcast, and that preparation is key. And if you can do something now to prevent an order being made before an application's even been made, then that really is the key to all of this. Landowners can do something to preempt all of this under Section 31(6) of the Highways Act 1980. Landowners can protect themselves from claim for public rights of way pursuant to the modification orders that we've discussed. So essentially, what a landowner can do under Section 31(6) of the Highways Act is they can make a statement or a declaration of ownership in respect of the land clearly outlined on a plan. On this plan, any acknowledged public right of way will be annotated on, and this will be accompanied with what we call a statutory declaration, which should be made in front of a solicitor. So by this method, the landowner demonstrates a clear lack of intention to record further rights of way on the land by recording the rights of way that are already in situ. This process should be repeated every 20 years, and that kind of creates a bit of a barrier against people recording future rights of way on the land. It's sometimes known as a deposit, a Section 31 deposit. The deposit gets recorded onto a Section 31 register, and this does provide some security for land owners in terms of what rights of way are registered on the land. And it shows a clear intention that they intend for no further rights of way to be recorded on that land, and it will put you in the best possible position to object against any application that comes, because you've already took those steps to say that these are the rights of way on your land and you don't have any other ones running over your land. So that's probably the best thing that landowners can do to preempt these applications.
Thanks, Sam. I would emphasise and agree with you there that I think that seems to be the takeaway point, is to, if you get a modification order served against you, you need to be prepared, you need to take relevant steps, but let's try and preempt these guys, let's try and stop these applications been made, and let's make those deposits. I think this has been very insightful. I think it's been very useful to a number of our clients. Please do get in touch. You know the team here can help you with all of your rural land and property and other general inquiries with all aspects. We're a full service law firm. We'd be happy here as the team to help you with any legal inquiries that you do have. Please do get in touch. If you liked content, please let us know and have some feedback perhaps as to other useful topics that you think you might be interested in hearing about. But I would thank you all for listening, and please do get in touch. Speak to you all soon, and thank you for listening. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you both. Enjoyed listening to that. Just very quickly for me, we release our webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And you can also follow the Rural team on Twitter at Sintons Rural. As I usually say at this point, if you'd like to discuss anything Tom and Sam have raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with them. They can be contacted via telephone 019 1226 7878 and via their respective email addresses, tom.wills@sintons.co.uk and sam.watts@sintons.co.uk. Episode 8 will be with you in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you once again to everybody that has tuned in. We generally do appreciate it. All these episodes of the Rural Podcast series, just in case you're not listening to them in chronological order, can be found on our website, again, www.sintons.co.uk. We look forward to speaking to you soon. Stay safe, everyone. Thank you.